Welcome to Vinyl Verdict. I'm Bell.
I'm Jamie.
I'm Ploof.
And this week it's Ploof's pick.
It sure is.
It is. It is a Ploof pick.
Yeah, we're listening to You Come and Go Like a Pop Song by The Bicycle Thief.
The Bicycle Thief. I've heard of them.
I heard of them, but I have not.
There is a band called Bike Thieves.
Yeah, that's how I thought I heard of
them. Yeah, and that's like an Ontario band, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got their album.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Bombay Bicycle Club.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
That's another band.
That's the only bands I know with bike in the name or bicycle.
The BBC. Well, this is definitely not either of those things. The Bicycle Thief is mostly Bob Forrest with a lot of help from Josh Klinghoffer. And then a bit of help from a lot of other people I mostly don't know. Bob,
and then John Frusciante.
John Frusciante on like one track.
Yeah.
He plays a solo on like one track. He's hardly involved, but he does know him. They did play a lot of guitar because Bob.
I know him.
Bob is like this weird, like, cult celebrity in California.
California.
In like the 80s and the 90s. He's part of a band called Thelonious Monster. They never made it big. Spoiler alert. The guy's also a recovering drug addict. Close friend of River Phoenix who died. I'm pretty sure he's Anthony Kiedis's sponsor, like for drug recovery. He's also listed in like Sublime's Thanks on 40 Ounces to Freedom. They list Bob Forrest. Yeah, he's just really like famous in this weird inner circle in California. And then he never really made it past that. And that's kind of what I feel this whole album is about. So came out in 99 with the track listing that we're listening to today. And then it was re-released in 2001 with two tracks completely swapping out. And then the rest of them changing order.
So annoying.
Quite a bit.
Because, of course, I'm listening to Apple Music and they only have this new 2001 release.
Yep.
So I'm like skipping around so I can listen to it in the order of the record. And then I had to go on YouTube to find the two songs that were removed.
Yep.
It was so annoying.
Luckily, one of those songs is a quick interlude.
It's like 17 seconds long.
Yeah,
it wasn't worth me looking it up.
Yeah,
Ronnie, but I did it.
This album, it felt a little longer than it was.
Sure.
I think it's interesting they only released this one album and then never released anything else again.
Yeah, well, don't forget that this isn't his only band, right? Like, Thelonious Monster had a few albums, I think two or three.
Yeah, but wasn't that band over?
Oh, yeah.
And then they started this one because people were like, you should keep making music.
Pretty much.
And then he did, and then he was like, oh.
I'm done. That's pretty much it. And this one is like all about like, oh, I'm old and sad and nothing worked out for me and blah, blah, blah.
You know what's funny, though? He mentions many times, he's like, I'm old and sad. But then he says, like, I'm 35. And it's like,
yeah.
I'm 35. I'm not old or
you
sad.
You are. We talk about how old you are every episode.
But remember that, like, all of his friends.
Oh, Jamie's crying now. I didn't mean to hurt you. Man, you're not that old.
Remember that, like, all of his friends that he's been kind of, like, hanging out with and partying are all famous, right?
Yeah, or died at 23.
Or died at, like, 27 or 23 or whatever and dead, yeah. So yeah. It's when you're sitting.
Or maybe he discovered that all of his friends were just together because they liked doing heroin.
Maybe. Yeah.
It's like when you discover that when you're an alcoholic and all your friends are.
They just love drinking.
They just like drinking. That's the only thing you have in common.
To be fair, have we tried it before?
I picked this album because I really like it. It's my friend Zach, the same guy who does our intro music. And
thanks, Zach.
With all the Chili Peppers knowledge. He showed it to me like 20 years ago. And I really dug it because
Blue's old now, 20 years ago.
Well, I mean, yeah, the album's like 20 years, 20 plus years old. So it's because, you know, the Josh Klinghoffer and John Frusciante, and Anthony Kiedis kind of cross over there.
Yeah. Josh Klinghoffer was John Frusciante's replacement.
Yeah. After a while. Well, he was on Stadium Arcadium as the touring guitarist. Yeah. I think then he joined him for the album or two after that. And then, yeah, John's back now, but, I don't know. They came out with this limited release, like 1,000 copies, back in like 2020 or 2021.
You peep how many instruments he plays on this particular album?
Who, Josh or Bob?
Quite a few,
yeah.
Plays like the piano and then like 7 different stringed instruments, including a cello?
Yeah, the credits for this are pretty all over the place, especially because there's a lot of different artists on like each track.
Yeah, there's a different drummer on most tracks.
But yeah, I just picked it because it's kind of neat. It's
I just think it's neat.
Yeah, pretty limited pressing, very cult classic that, like, I don't know, on Discogs is going for a lot. Mine isn't going to go for that much because, spoiler alert, I don't know where my 7-inches are. I went looking today. I think I must have lost them in a move or something.
Thank God, because I did not do any notes for the 7 inches.
That's okay.
I did.
But yeah, they weren't with my 7 inches, and I thought I just left them like in the plastic jacket, the plastic sleeve.
Well, you had a pile of them.
I know. I looked through the 7-inch pile, and yeah. I didn't see it. Maybe I just missed it. I don't know.
No.
Either way, I'm not sure where the poster is either. This was supposed to be like a pretty big release, and I have... or had everything, but I've moved so many times now.
Yeah.
And it was one of the first records that I, not one of the first ones, but like pretty early when I was collecting again. But yeah, so I don't know. I really like it, but I really dig Bob's kind of scratchy, sad, weird voice. And I like all the instrumentation. Josh Klinghoffer is a pretty good guitarist. And then, yeah, the solo by John is really good. But what did you guys think?
Someone I expected. And it didn't hit for me.
Sure.
From the name of the band, I kind of expected like a more like indie pop
band.
Interesting.
And when I first started, I was like, it is not.
It is not that at all.
And I don't know why, but the quality of the vocal tracks for the lead singer only seem a little subpar.
Sure.
I don't know why they chose the vocal effect of like it being a little scratchy or like...
I think it's just the recording.
I think that's just his voice.
Yeah, I think it's just bad. The recording quality.
Well, because the harmonies and backing vocals are fine, and all the instruments are clear.
Yeah.
I was just like, huh.
The version I listened to, everything was sort of, I want to say washed out. It just sounded muffled.
Yeah, I was just like, this guy's recording with a trash mic, and I didn't know if it was conscious or not, but it was annoying. It didn't work for several tracks. Because there are several where the production value is kind of high. And that's another complaint is that the production value is kind of all over the place. It's like, yo, this is a high-quality, radio-friendly song. And then it's like, this is a guy handing me a CD on the street and telling me to listen to his music.
Yeah,
like,
pretty much.
There's no real in-between, which isn't normally a problem. But I guess when you're kind of already not in the mood for that music, it was just like another thing where I was like, meh.
The two songs that appear on the 7-inch have a much higher audio quality than the... rest of the album.
Yeah, it's Song for Kevin Spacey Movie, and what's the other one?
Hold on. Trust Fund Girl.
Trust Fund Girl, right. Yeah, yeah, which are, like, both okay songs, but...
But because they, first appeared on the reissue of the album, I think there's some time between there, and maybe this is a different studio session, because the audio quality of those two particular tracks is much higher.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me at all.
My thoughts on it are sort of similar to Bell's. I didn't hate the album. I think the album is fine. But I think there's some, like, Bob Forrest's voice is very, you like it or you don't kind of thing.
Absolutely. Yep.
And I think the instrumentation is good, but the, like Bell was saying, the recording quality is all over the place.
Sure.
And I think, some of the songs feel longer than they actually are, in some cases.
Yeah, a lot of them are around like 4 minutes or so. They're not
egregious. It, I mean, it, they definitely
short.
Fill the CD.
Yeah.
And how many LPs is it?
It's a single LP.
Interesting. Because this album is like 50 minutes long.
I'll double check.
So it's like 25 minutes a set. That makes sense.
I think it's 50 minutes with the two extra songs. Oh, the 7-inches are in here.
Hey, you found them.
Right okay, there. I found them. Hey.
They were in the record.
I don't know where the poster is still. But the value just, of this release just went way up. And yeah, I still have my single LP here.
Okay.
We'll talk about it later because it's not at that part
yet.
Of
course.
But yes, it is a single LP in a gatefold, which is always nice, but we'll get to that later.
Of course. Oh, geez, just whack his laptop, eh?
I couldn't help it.
Oh. Yeah, what an album. Not for me.
Yeah, that's cool. I basically, when I picked this, I did not expect either of you to be crazy about it.
That's funny, yeah. I was on board for a little bit.
Sure.
But there's something about it that just doesn't work for me, and, you know, here we are.
A lot of it's really sad and whiny and mopey. And if you don't like that, and then you don't like his voice, which gets very sad and whiny and mopey as well,
yeah,
it's definitely just not going to hit right for you. Luckily, yeah. I was at a point where I was like all sad and mopey and stuff, and this was great when I was a teenager.
And you haven't gotten out of it yet.
I've never gotten out of it.
Yeah.
no, I gravitate back towards it when I, like, I don't listen to this very often anymore, but there's a few tracks on it that I'm really fond of, like, Tennis Shoes or Aspirations or Max Jill Called. The rest of it is all okay. And I would not pay the exorbitant prices that this is for on Discogs now.
No, I don't think it's worth that.
Yeah, like I'd buy it for what I paid for it 4 years ago or whatever. But I got it when it was released. I didn't buy it aftermarket. So it was like fine. You know, it was a little much, but it wasn't any, it wasn't like over $100 after shipping or anything like that.
I gotcha.
Yeah. So let's listen to it one more time.
Okay.
And then we'll talk about it.
All right. Let the truth be known.
Yeah, that's what it starts with on this one.
I hurt myself today.
Yeah. It's got a weird splooshy sound at the beginning.
Splooshy sound? I didn't notice that.
It's got like a splooshy, splish splashy sound in like as the instrumentation comes in. It's weird.
I really like
I don't think it does.
You don't hear it?
No.
Oh, God. Maybe the track I was listening to was
it, bored. There's a shaker. It kind of, I guess, sounds like a splash, but it keeps shaking.
I don't know. Maybe... I listened to it
on
Spotify.
Was playing near bath.
I also listened on Spotify, and then I listened to the album again.
Oh, weird.
To get the order right.
I have a bunch of notes about the audio sounding bad, so maybe if it was Spotify, maybe it was that. Okay, maybe anyway.
Yeah. Let's do a different album.
I like Josh's backup vocals. Sometimes it sounds like there's kind of three singers, like one left, one center, and one right, and I thought that was kind of cool, although the third one just kind of sounds like Bob slightly delayed. I don't know. It's got a cool, crunchy guitar. I think it's a good song.
At a minute, it does one of those cool backwards guitar solos like Castles Made of Sand or Helter Skelter.
Oh.
Hmm. Yeah, I wasn't... like. I don't think it's a bad song, first of all.
Yeah.
I wasn't a huge fan of the vocals right off the bat, but on this one, it kind of grew on me where I was like, this is kind of neat. That definitely does not hold through the whole album, but to start, I was like, this isn't bad.
Yeah.
It's... an odd song because the lyrical pacing is a little off kilter, and then the backup vocals are panned either side with the stereo, with the center channel being the main vocals. And then the guitar solo was only in the left side, so I was like, that's odd.
Yeah, that is a little weird. That's very 60s-ish.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, is this a Beatles thing? And I like took off an ear. I'm like, no, I can still hear it in the right one. It's just like...
it's just quieter.
It's just it's not quite hard panned. It's just panned.
It's like they're trying to create a 3D space. Like you're in the studio. You're spatial just not audio. Standing right next to the guitar.
Yeah. It's a... it's inoffensive. Like, it just is a song, and it's fine.
Yeah. Then we get Tennis Shoes.
It's a different vibe. Very light guitar at the beginning.
Yeah, very, very different vibe.
Yeah. I love Tennis Shoes quite a bit, actually. I just like the whole line of, like, I've learned to walk around in my own tennis shoes. I think it's pretty good. But at this point, I was like, yeah, if you don't like Bob's voice by now, you probably won't like this album.
Two songs in,
yeah, I like how sad he sounds, and I like the whole...
he sounds worn out.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Sounds tired and, like, done. So I kind of dig it. I like the backup vocals from Josh again. And I think it's got a good ending.
Have you seen photos of him recently?
No.
He looks like 90 years old.
Probably.
I know he's not.
That's why you don't do hard drugs for, like, 10 plus years. We'll get to
don't
that.
Do drugs,
we'll get
kids.
To that later, but, like, on Cereal Song where he talks about not having any teeth anymore and stuff.
Yeah. Can't choose cereal.
This song is kind of more what I expected from the band name.
Sure.
It's like almost like a stoner beach rock.
Yeah.
Like the low key kind of thing. I don't know. It's very different, but I enjoy it.
Yeah.
It kind of keeps that quirky off kilter vibe of the last song, but I think it suits this casual vibe better than the kind of more intense hardcore vibe. It's a little repetitive, but I think it stays on the fun side. Like it feels like a radio song that you would have listened to in the late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, I think that fits. It works with the like catchy chorus. Then we got Raining or 4 a.m.
Raining. Or It's Raining on It's Raining on Apple Music, which I was like, huh.
What the back of the album? Raining.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Apple Music taking some liberties.
That's right.
Or that remaster. They're also like, we got a chance to change a name.
Honestly, probably because some of these changed. Like Stoned was originally Aspirations, and then that changed for the CD.
Well, yours says Aspirations, and then parentheses
Stoned. Yeah, I think the CD is just Stone, so they changed the album name or the title, the song title.
Well, let me tell you, I'm not a fan of this one.
You don't like Raining?
No, I think this is a very early 2000s in a bad way.
Oh,
it's cheesy, it's boring, it's got a fade out, and then the acoustic, the vocals don't work with the acoustic vibe.
Oh, that's like, fair. Oh. Okay, I like the acoustic intro on this song. I thought that was pretty good. It's got some nice background vocals.
Yeah, yeah,
and then it's got a very clean tone to the solo, which is weird.
Yeah, I adore the guitar solo after a minute 45. I thought it's got some cool drums around 220, and then another cool solo for the bridge.
Yeah, the solo is just like has no I don't know what's the word I'm looking for. It's not overdriven at all.
Yeah, just guitar,
completely clean.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't like the fade out as well, but I think it's a decent song. Otherwise, I just like the whole imagery of like coming home at 4 a.m. and no one's up because you've been working or partying or whatever, and you're all alone. Then we get Aspirations or Stoned. It's got a fun chorus.
Let's get stoned and watch TV.
That's right. There's a few questionable lyrics, but this was, you know, written in like 1999.
Yeah, it sure is. I have that as well. The lyrics are iffy. Like, lyrics stole our religion and women want to be men.
Yeah. Luckily, that's like the only two lines that are like kind of iffy. The rest of it, I think, is fine.
I think it's iffy enough, though.
But yes.
Yeah. I was like, whoa, this guy is so smart and cool. He's so different from other people around at the time. Like, wow.
I like the cymbal beat in the background or whatever it is. Really just kind of fits with everything else and strengthens the beat. I like the guitar solo. I don't like the long outro with the TV channel stuff.
Yeah, that's annoying.
It's cool for like 10 seconds, and then it just goes on for way too long.
Yeah, I'm torn, because I like, musically, I don't mind it, but like, the smug, I'm so big brain, people are dumb, totally, tearing down society, and they're okay with it because they're dumb, but I'm smart and I know it.
Yeah.
It's such like a, it is very of the time, I guess, but it's just, it's not, I don't relate. I just go, yeah, okay, buddy.
Totally.
But again, musically, it is good.
Yeah.
So
my only, with the channel changing thing, like, I just wish that instead of fading out, he just like turned off the TV. Mm-hmm. I think it would have ended it like way nicer than it does.
But, yeah, because it's a long.
It's long.
Yeah.
It's too long.
This is at the point where I noted that there was something about the mix of this album that is just strange.
It's probably a number of recordings all like
different sessions, different times, and different studios.
There's so many artists on it.
I believe it credits three different studios.
Oh, does it? I didn't even check the studio credits. I'm pretty sure Bob wrote the whole thing and then basically just got a bunch of friends to like play on different tracks with him.
Yeah, people he knew or whomever. Yeah.
Yeah. Then we get Max Jill Called. This one's probably my favorite. I love this song.
I like the way you say it with no comma. Max Jill Called. Not Max, Jill called.
Max Headroom Called?
Well, that's good because he kind of sings it like that, right? Like, hey, Max Jill Called. Like, he doesn't really pause when he sings it either. It's got a bit of a country vibe.
It's another one that feels kind of the time.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a bad thing in this one.
But no, I think this one works a little better because it's not as big brain. It's still more like, look at society and blah, blah.
This is one that I noted down that I was like, the production quality feels low. Like, it was downloaded from LimeWire. Like, I don't know. It just doesn't. I read the same peaks. It's just not memorable. I don't think it's bad. I don't remember that it's on there.
I just really like the chorus, and I like the note at the end because it's like, it sounds like his voice cracks almost, where he's like, "It is still a beautiful world." Mm. And then I also like how the lyrics change a little bit on the last chorus and then repeat for the last bit. I think it's got a good ending. I don't know. I like the message on this one and the imagery. But that's kind of like most of these tracks, honestly. I just like the imagery and like him being a sad man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which is similar to Off Street Parking.
It's got a cool little solo at 3 minutes and that's about it.
Yeah, it's cheesy, man. I did not like it. When two aren't two, they're one and one. One and one is nothing is the worst line I've on this album by far. I was like, this is dumb. Other than the offensive line, that's the dumbest one. It's also one of the longest songs in the album. And I enjoyed none of it.
Yeah. I do like the way he sings, one and one is nothing. Like, it's just so sad. But I agree. The lyrics are kind of dumb. I like the nice opening guitar lick over the top of the organ or whatever it is. I don't know if it's just the bass or something. I can't find the credit for it. But there's an organ and a Wurlitzer listed, which is not for this one. It's got a great chorus, a song about a breakup. I don't know. good guitar solos. I do like the line, "I feel horrible. I got what I wanted," though. The outro is too long.
Yes.
Yeah.
L.A.
Country. Hometown blues.
Yeah.
This one's all right.
It's got a bluesy sound.
Yeah.
I wonder if I gave that away.
I don't know. This one is probably one of my least favorites. I mostly only like it because it reminds me of Yellowknife.
It's got that telephone or old-timey microphone effect, and I'm not here for that.
Yeah, this is an absolute stinker. And that made me question what the album was. I was like, there's zero consistency in theming or production value. And why are the vocals so buried deep, not only behind the instruments, but also just fuzz?
Yeah. And it ends with this weird, like, 30s, we're listening to the radio at home.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense because everything else is above the fuzz other than his vocals.
Totally.
So I was just like, why?
Yeah.
We're having a wonderful time.
I fully agree. I think it's just like an acoustic alt song of the time, and it's fine. And then we get MacArthur Park Revisited.
Ah, that's interesting because MacArthur Park was a huge hit in the 60s.
Oh, crazy.
It's like a very long song, and it's a stinker.
I didn't know anything about it.
MacArthur Park.
Now they've revisited this time.
Something in the Dark.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I like the guitar.
Weird Al covered it as Jurassic Park. Nice. Jurassic Park is frightening in the dark.
That's pretty
good. All the dinosaurs are running wild.
Yeah, that's a good song. This one is not as bad as the last couple, but it's not super memorable and feels dated. I don't think it's bad, though.
Yeah.
I kept thinking he was saying he was Mexican, and then he's saying mess again.
Yeah, I'm a mess again.
Yeah, I was like, I'm a Mexican.
I always heard mess again. No, I've never heard Mexican. How bad was the quality of whatever you were listening to?
It was not that bad. It'll be one of the songs I choose for the one last listen, so the audience can decide if he's saying I'm Mexican.
I've never heard it as I'm Mexican. I've always heard mess again.
Listen, you're wiling if you don't think he's saying I'm Mexican.
Okay. I like when everything kind of picks up a little over halfway through. This guy loves the whole being American shtick. I even wrote I like the I'm a mess again ending.
I like the I'm a Mexican ending.
All right. Everyone else, not me.
Oh, really? I love the song. It's so sad.
Yeah, it's
It has a dreamlike guitar intro that goes into something that isn't.
Yeah.
It's acoustic.
Yeah, I really like I like the intro, but I wrote that it doesn't need it, and I think they could have gone straight into it.
It's throwaway.
Yeah, they could have gone straight into it.
Yeah,
It's a sad song. It sounds like it's about either a deceased partner or someone who they're probably deceased based on the lyrics. But yeah, it's never explicitly stated. I just like it because I'm a sucker for this kind of stuff, especially how he starts the song, like hiding from his friends, basically. Chorus is simple and sad.
Yeah, I feel like it's just too specific, though.
Sure.
I was like, this is very specific to your exact life. I like it when it's a bit more vague so you can kind of put yourself in the shoes, but it's like, I went down two doors to the left and I got the dog out of the kennel that we keep on the floor by the bed and it's blue. And I'm like, okay, this is too too specific. But the chorus isn't bad.
Yeah.
Production value feels low again, though.
Sure.
I thought it was an interesting choice for them to have the chorus having a harmony, but also it's louder than the rest of the song.
Yeah.
I thought that was an interesting choice.
They made a lot of interesting choices when they were making this album.
It's really the worst mixing.
It's such a weird, like, cult classic. I don't even understand why, like, it's just because it's a limited run is why it's worth so much, I guess.
Yeah, it's
like
scarcity.
1,000 copies. And well, like I said, he's got this weird cult following.
So I tried to buy a Wolf. This is a tangent real quick, though. I tried to buy a Wolf Mother album recently, and because they've been out of pressing so long, they're going for like $400. Now, there's never been a Wolf Mother album that's worth $400.
No.
It's just scarcity.
They're good. Like, I'd buy an album for $60.
Yeah, Woman is
tops.
A great song. Woman! It's a great song. Anyway.
Then we get It's All Right. The guitar takes a little too long to really get going, but I like the rest of the song. And then once there's music to go over the guitar, I actually kind of like it.
Yeah, it's not bad. I don't know why they removed it from the 2001 album release.
I don't either.
So like, I had to look up on YouTube. It's a pretty standard pop rock song, and I've got no qualms with it.
Yeah.
It kind of reminded me of Our Lady Peace,
sure.
Though I prefer Rain Maida's vocals.
Sure.
The 40-second instrumental that ends the song is fairly solid.
Yeah.
It really feels like the guitar player wanted to play something really cool, but just can't. I was like, oh, you're so close, buddy. You're so close. And then just
keep noodling, baby. You'll get it.
Yeah. The slow screeching still ends up working out, though. Yeah. I guess this would be my favorite song on the album.
It's all right. Yeah, that's sure. Yeah. Well, it's all right.
I guess.
It's all right. Yeah, yeah. It's definitely all right.
Yeah, I think it's got a simple chorus that's fun to sing along to.
Rhonda Meets the Birdman did not need to be on this album.
No, and that's why they removed it, probably. It's like a weird 17-second interlude or whatever.
Yeah, it's just noises for 17 seconds.
I wrote, this is just a short interlude for my notes. And that's it.
Then we get into Serial Song.
Whoa. What if I have thoughts?
Yeah, what do you like or dislike about
this? Rhonda was cut from the 2001 re-release.
Thank you, Bill.
Thanks, Bill. It was, and I also understand. Then we get Serial Song. And this is just, a PSA. Don't do hard drugs, kids.
Yeah. So for the listener at home, Bob Forrest is friends with both John Frusciante and was friends with River Phoenix. He was one of the last people to see River Phoenix alive the night he died.
Yeah.
River Phoenix is, of course, the brother of Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a pretty specific song again, but the story being told is sad.
Yeah.
And the message is good, which is that drugs are bad.
Yeah.
And don't do drugs. You might not be able to eat cereal anymore because you might not have no teeth.
Yeah, that's again where I'm like, you didn't need to be so specific.
I like the imagery of,
well, it's like this is the worst thing that could happen is they can't eat your favorite cereal. It's like, okay.
Well,
I will miss Vector, I guess, but I'm doing heroin, which is probably better. I don't do drugs.
I really like the chorus with the whole, where's it gotten me? I'm 35 years old now, washing dishes in a restaurant, which is just kind of sad.
I'm not washing dishes.
I'm pointing at Jamie right now.
There's nothing wrong with being a dishwasher, but like, yeah, Jamie. That's all this guy's ever going to be. Unfortunately, but yeah, it's pretty tragic.
Great. Yeah, the song ends with an excellent minute and a half long instrumental, though.
And it's got a great guitar solo. Yeah.
And that solo is played by our friend John Frusciante.
Yeah. Really? That's funny.
That's why it's so good.
For it to stand out. That's why he actually succeeded in his solo instead of being like, I don't know what to do, just screech.
And at this and at this point in his life, John Frusciante had just got clean from heroin and losing his house. His house had just burned down.
Yeah, 99. Yeah.
Last note I have is the instrumental of the song is excellent, but everything else is whatever. So it's very funny that really Frusciante came in and made the best part of the song. It was like,
he totally did.
And if you're interested in why John Frusciante almost lost his life to drugs.
We've talked about this before. You can watch a video on YouTube.
Yeah, it's a movie by Johnny Depp called Stuff.
It's on YouTube. It's 30 minutes.
Yep. Is it half an hour? I thought it was like 17 minutes. Did you watch it all? It's very sad.
It's on my watch later. I'm not going to watch it, though.
It's kind of depressing and off-putting.
Then we get to Boy at a Bus Stop, which is the last song on the album. It's another sad song for the end of the album.
What a surprise.
I'm not crazy about this one.
Neither am I.
Sure.
Yeah. I like the droning hums that play through the whole song and the little bit of horns that pop up during the chorus.
Yep.
I think it's a solid end to the album. I don't have a ton of thoughts about the song. But I guess, like, for the vibes and everything that's been kind of going on throughout the whole thing, like, this makes sense on how to end it.
Yep.
But it kind of just is.
That sounds about right. Yeah, I also think it's a good ending, but I'm not, like, I don't know, it's not a standout track on the album itself. Let's talk about the physical parts of this record.
Please. Yes.
So the album is basically just a picture of what looks like a California highway or something.
It does.
I'll show you, Bill.
It has your release has the original album cover, not the CD album cover.
It's too bad because the re-release one is cool with the pool by the ocean.
The pool is falling into the ocean.
Yeah. What? Oh, that one. Yeah.
It's like the pool is falling into it, right? Or something like that? Or?
No.
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
It is right on the edge of it.
On the back, we've got like, Welcome to Slab City, a little... like rest stop or something on the back of the highway.
Yeah, it's like a little
rest stop.
Probably. It's like a panorama shot.
Yeah,
like if you opened it up all it
looks the
way,
like where
you it'd
could be see a toll it. Or something. It's a very small square building.
Yeah, it does. And then we've got produced by Josh Blum and Mark Huttner. Josh Blum is a really familiar name, but I don't know who he is.
Are you thinking Steve Blum, the voice actor?
Mayhap I am, Jamie.
Yeah. Jeff Goldblum?
Jeff Goldblum, maybe. It's also got the tracks listed on the back in order, like in terms of side A, side B, which is always nice. And then if you open it up, you've got this really cool kind of bunch of notes.
Yeah, that's cool.
Scribblings.
Yeah.
Well, like his notes.
They're all digital.
For making the album.
Yeah.
It would be cool if they were real notes, but I think it looks very sharp being digital.
Yeah. I agree with that.
They're probably real notes that have been digitalized.
Digitized, yeah. They're mostly song lyrics, like you can see the Max Jill called, which, hey, Look, it doesn't have a comma after Max on the notes, just saying.
So that's someone's name. Someone's name is Max Jill.
Max Jill called, yep. But yeah, it's mostly like lyrics as if he'd, you know, written this on with alternate track titles and stuff like that. So it looks like he's written it on notes and whatnot. And it's just kind of splayed out across the inside of the gatefold. And then I've got the version. Well, there's only one version, I guess, because it's not the CD. Mine comes with, get out of here. It's a digital download. So mine came with a digital download code. It's got a 7-inch that has Song for a Kevin Spacey Movie.
Gotta say, the label of the 7-inch, cheap.
Boo-boo.
Yeah, probably.
Looks like printed with a printer.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Isn't that odd? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's yellow, though.
It is. It's colored vinyl. Minor inclusion. And then, I've never actually really looked at this poster. It's kind of whatever. It's got just a bunch of weird images on the front, a bunch of pictures of Bob Forrest and people he knows.
You are here. Wow.
Yeah, wow. Deep. Then there's four...
kind of looks like Stephen King in the top left photo.
Stephen King? Like here?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he kind of does. Yeah, I can see it with the big glasses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the big glasses give it away.
And then the back, there's just four quarter panels. And it's like... It looks like it's messages from Bob as well as other people like Mark Huttner, who helped produce the album. And then a track listing with some credits on it, which is neat. It's okay. I've never like given it much thought, honestly. I just wanted the album. The record itself is kind of cool, which is nice. It's like a weird marbling.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I'll show you. Just give me, let me get it
Please.
Out of here.
Please.
Yes, show the listener at home.
Wow, I really laughed at you, listener.
One nice thing, the label is like a car.
Is it better?
It's got a little race car. It does look better.
It's on the other side. Oh, it's the same label.
And yeah, it's like this weird clear and blue.
Oh, yeah, it's got like a blot.
Yeah, it's like an ink blot almost.
Oh, cool.
One side's the car.
Yeah, the label does look better.
Oh, the other one's like scales or
and
something.
And the other one's, scales or something that looks like a weighing scale, not like a dragon scale.
I was
going to
say, I'm like, I can't see it, so I wonder. Wow, clocks.
I think it's a weigh scale.
Those are definitely
They do
clocks.
Look like clocks.
They yep. do kind of look like clocks.
Bell's right. Well, anyway.
They look like it because they are.
Anyway.
Both clock. Of these weights only go up to 12, and then it's at the top.
You make these a great clocks point. Really look like clocks.
You make a great point.
That's a very
I
cool
hate it when
though.
Bell makes a good point. Take it back.
The blot with the clear looks really sharp. I know I see a lot where it's like a solid color with a blot, but the clear looks very cool.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm a big fan. I'm pretty happy with the package overall, considering it comes with a 7-inch with a couple singles. Comes with a little poster, even if it's kind of a dinky poster, and it came with a digital download, which had the files.
Oh, you found the poster.
Yeah, well, I'm pretty sure this little guy is the poster, because it's not a lyric book or anything.
He was missing the 7-inch.
I was missing the 7-inch.
Oh, I thought you said you're missing the poster, too.
No.
What is the half glass of water with a question mark?
I don't know.
Maybe it's on both the 7-inch and on the...
Yeah, maybe it's the record label. I'm not sure. I
honestly, because it's Immediate Family Records.
Well, I don't know, Bill. Maybe it's the
if
Bicycle
you know,
Thief logo.
Make sure to comment down below.
Yeah. I can't remember where I bought this from. Can't remember how much I paid. I think it was like 60 bucks plus shipping.
60 blots.
I wish it was 60 blots. So yeah, it wasn't too bad. It's gone on Discogs from anywhere from 200 to like 300 or so. And it's listed currently for like 400 Canadian for a copy right now, which is absurd. It's a weird cult following. The funny thing is, I won't sell it. As much as I could get a bunch of money for this album, there's only 1,000 copies, so I'll never get it back. And while I don't even think it's the best album ever, I really love a few of the tracks, and I don't know. It just kind of reminds me of home sometimes, so I'll never sell it.
Well, what would you review it?
It was very tough. There's a bunch of nostalgia. There's a few tracks that I like absolutely adore, like Max Jill Called, Serial Song, even, Aspirations, despite the funny lyrics and like Rain In or Tennis Shoes. Like I like most of these songs because I like his weird voice and I like how sad he is and whatnot. But yeah, I fully agree that the whole variety of artists, while it keeps things interesting, it doesn't necessarily keep them good or tight. And the recording does sound like it was done in multiple places. And so it like varies across the whole album. The pressing is good. It sounds pretty decent for a record. I don't know. I've had so much trouble. I originally wanted to give it a 9, and I was like, that's way too high. And then I toned it down to an 8, and I'm like, well, even that seems kind of too high. I'm going to go with a 7.5 with, like, nostalgia wanting me to push it over the edge because I just love, like, 2 or 3 tracks quite a bit.
Even as a package it is with a 7-inch in the blot?
That's the thing, is with the package, that's what brings it up past, like, something lower. Because I fully recognize that, like, while I like his voice, a lot of people don't. Like, there's a reason why Thelonious Monster never got big. There's a reason why this thing didn't become some number one seller. There's a reason why they probably limited it to 1,000 copies instead of like 10,000 or 50,000 or whatever. It wasn't to keep it rare. It was because that's how many copies they probably thought they could get away with selling.
Yeah, that's fair. We all kind of have that. I mean, that's even me with like Empire of the Sun. Like, his voice is very, or Radiohead's probably a better example. A lot of people, and even we talked about in the episodes, people do not like that voice for that long. So I can appreciate the acknowledgement of like, I like this, but it's not, it's understandable why it's not maybe someone else's favorite. My vinyl verdict is pretty short. I can see what they were trying to do on this album, but I think the original track listing to order isn't ideal and the production quality isn't quite high enough. And the lyrics are just too hyper specific for my taste in a lot of different circumstances. I don't think this is bad by any means though. I'm going to put this in the 34th spot below Green by R.E.M. and above Live at Monterey by the Jimi Hendrix Experience. It's just not for me. Like, I think maybe I've just listened to a lot of music from that era, and I kind of, like, have my preferences now.
Sure.
Like I mentioned Our Lady Peace, it's like, yeah, I liked them. And I liked kind of, like, a lot of singles from that era, but I haven't really listened to a full album of it. And I bet if I did of any of those singles I liked, I probably wouldn't like almost any of those albums.
Most of the album, yeah.
Because I was young when I listened to it, so, like, I probably would have been like, I don't like this because my sisters and my mom like it.
Yeah.
And now it's kind of clouded the judgment later on. What about you, Jamie? What's your final verdict?
This was a relatively hard one to rate because like you were saying, it's not awful. It's just, again, not something I want to be listening to. It's a little too downery and his voice is a little too weird. So I'll probably give it like a 6.5 out of 13, maybe like a 6.7 out of 13. Like
some, no. Already do 13. You can't do weird points as well.
This is not stopping me. but like you said, it's not awful. It's not unlistenable. There is artistic value in it. It's just not the artistic value that I'm into.
Yeah, there's no way I would get up and be like, you need to turn this off. It's just I would not be like, yo, put this on.
No, that's pretty reasonable. That's actually a little better than I was expecting.
Yeah. Well, are there any other kind of bands that remind you of this? There were a few times when I was like, I feel like this is what, like the kind of second song I think it is, the beachy weird one. I was like, is this what Sublime sounds like? Like, I don't know what other of those 90s
Sublime
bands
sucks.
Are.
That's what Sublime sounds like.
What? You don't like Sublime?
Sublime sucks.
What?
I've never listened.
Wow. I'll pick 40 Ounces to Freedom or something.
That album's fine. It's just like you've heard all the good songs already.
I don't disagree with you. I think that Sublime is another greatest hits band.
Yeah.
That like,
except their greatest hits is that one album and it's only 4 songs on it.
Yeah, there's more than that, but sure.
So what are other bands that are kind of like this? Do you know as a fan of this album?
I don't really know. It's like Jane's Addiction, kind of.
Oh, Jane's Addiction is really good, though.
Well, I agree. And there's a reason Jane's Addiction got more popular than this. Like, that's the problem is I think that he was trying to do that alt-rock 90s thing. And other band, it's 1999 already, right? Like, and then 2001 when the CD...
Have you ever listened to Live's 1999 album?
No.
It's also not very good. Hey, but no it's spoilers. Sold really
no
well.
Spoilers
it's
for next week's episode.
Inexplicable.
Did we cover Jane's Addiction?
Not yet.
No.
No.
Is Jane Says by Jane's Addiction?
Jane Says
that
is
song
by...
So good.
Jane Says is a great song. Their album Ritual de la Habitual is really good.
Yeah. But yeah, that's who I feel like they're trying to be, like, mid to late 90s alt rock. And everyone else has kind of done it already. His spin is that it's really sad and like whiny. And if you're not
Blind Melon.
Yeah, kind
God.
Of. And if you're not looking for that, then it's not going to work.
Yeah, I couldn't put a finger on anything, which, I mean, kind of makes me excited if we end up listening to Jane's Addiction or any of these other 90 bands that I don't know at all. But we are going to listen to more 90s bands next week on our topic, records we've never played before.
Yeah.
Jamie, what did you pick for that?
I picked Nirvana's In Utero. I bought it last year and I've never opened it.
That is crazy to me. I don't want to spoil anything, but I wish we did not choose this of their three albums. Three.
We could always listen to another Nirvana.
No, no. We keep trying to repeat. We're not repeating. Please, what did you pick?
I picked Throwing Copper by Live.
He has also never opened this album.
I have never opened it.
I hope not. I mean, it's...
I did purchase it recently because... It's funny. We'll talk about more on that topic, but there's like a sticker on the front that's like, with these songs, and I'm like, yep, those are the good songs. Those are the only
you just
good
named
songs.
The good ones.
Those are the three songs that I bought the album for, and I just like the album art, so sure.
Because those are both 90s albums, right? Like, yeah, I think they're both 94, 95.
Within a year of each other.
Throwing Copper is like 94 or 5, and then In Utero is around the same time.
And then I messed it up by choosing V by The Horrors, which is from 2017, and is also like... industrial rock.
We could have had a grunge spoiler. Episode.
I didn't know because I'd never listened to it before.
Oh,
I just was like, I've owned it because I bought it because the album. Oh, we'll talk about it. But I was just like, I've never listened before. I'm gonna choose it, and I was like, this is very different. I thought maybe there was a chance it'd be similar because of the album cover. But again, we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it next week on Vinyl Verdict.
Bye.
Bye.